Hello, folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I am in here right now from Melody Seastrom, who will be joining us about 20 after the first break. And you're listening to Financial Survival for, believe it or not, the ninth day of March 2022. I tell you, time is flying by so quickly. I could tell people, I don't know where we're heading, but we're getting there really fast, aren't we? But anyway, we got a lot to talk about today in way of economics and news beyond news. And Melody will give the market report after the first break. She likes to do the market reports. That's all hers, about 4:20 or so. In the meantime, as always, we have Wendy Wilson here with Apothecary Herbs, and she has always got information to share that's so interesting. And she got topics today she wants to share. Well, I'm going to let her pick either one she wants to. She had two of them. I told her to pick because both of them are very interesting, and I like to hear both of them, but time won't allow that. Maybe she'll do one this week and one next week. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you.
Good to have you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I guess we could talk about your smart health cards because they're kind of in the news, but a lot of people don't know a lot of the background on them, so I thought we could cover some of that as well. So,
of course.
This was actually a June 2021 study that was done by the University of Kent in the UK, and they were looking at the vaccine passport issue. And what they found was this whole concept of having a vaccine passport actually promoted noncompliance by the people that were getting vaccinated. So when governments around the globe, you know, rolled this concept out of enforcing vaccine passports in order to, you know, have you function in society, well, the general consensus was quite negative, okay? People didn't want to. They were forced into it. So the Journal of Applied Social Psychology ran this article, and they said researchers have found that when people are presented with the idea of a COVID-19 immunity passport, they show less willingness to follow social distancing, face coverings, and other pandemic guidelines. So what this whole exercise has been, in a way, is they're checking to see behavioral patterns and responses. So they're honing and fine-tuning their pandemic issues in order to control behaviors and actions by the mass population. Now, this is also by Ricky Green. He's at the University of Kent. He said people were questioning the need for the vaccine passport when natural immunity was present. Those who recovered from COVID had natural immunity and felt no need for a vaccine or a passport. So that was just common sense. But you know how that is these days with common sense. So for over 50 years, as you're aware, science has been telling the public that if you get sick and recover, you now have this natural immunity from that disease, that the immune system remembers the disease and keeps the antibody for future use and also to adapt it and protect you from against similar pathogens. But now, since COVID, the scientific community has backpedaled on all that as a different concept. So that was previously thought to be medical science and fact, and now they're saying, not really. Now, people aren't buying that, though, because that doesn't make sense to them. But population control studies are also in the mix here. The University of Kentucky did a study. They were looking at all these other studies that have been done and the reactions that the public has in order they want to nail down their program and have the least amount of resistance from the populace for future events. And they have unlimited then control of global population. This is what they said. This was Ricky Green from this study. He says, the research is suggesting that early public announcements that are surrounding immunity passports without perfecting them with cautious information about unclear evidence on COVID immunity has undermined our efforts to promote virus mitigating behaviors. So they're trying to manipulate behaviors in a pandemic. You get what I'm saying here? All right. So once they perfect their rollout of pandemics, the information about immunity that gets circulated, then that they can use the scenario on just about any plight they wish to launch. And some experts have already warned that this approach can be used on the touchy global warming agenda as well. So instead of making your community sick, the pressure and the guilt will be on, you know, are you making your environment sick? And when the earth is sick, as one report stated, there is, quote, an atlas of human suffering, end of quote.
Oh, my.
Right? So,
yes.
Inger Anderson, UN Environmental Program Department, he says, it isn't only humans bearing the brunt of pandemics, but it's nature, too. See where this is going to go?
Oh, yes.
Now, they have a strategic compliance in mind. So Forbes actually reported on how far along the U.S. is in initiating a vaccine passport. And they found that 21 states, as you mentioned, have started the process of what is called the smart health card. And each state is, you know, set, they have to set up their own portal for the passport. Then, you know, currently right now, the state health departments are offering this as an option. It's not mandatory yet. So the states that have smart health cards, vaccine passports now, are New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Delaware, Hawaii, Maryland, Virginia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Illinois, Minnesota, North Dakota, New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, Utah, Nevada, California, Puerto Rico, and Washington State. Now, the states working on their future vaccine passport portals are Oregon, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and West Virginia. And we did provide a map in the newsletter that's gone out, American Survival. If anybody signed up for that, you would get the map, and you can see which states are in this already and which are coming up. North Carolina, fortunately, hasn't even done anything yet, sort of like Florida and some other states. So as the U.S. states health officials, you know, what they're doing is they're downplaying the smart health card right now. They're simply saying it's a COVID card, it's part of a patient's record, anyone can request it themselves at pharmacies or places that offer them. And by the way, if you have a smartphone, you'll get a digital version of this smart health card. If you don't do any of that digital stuff, they give you a printed card, okay? So even
well, how
if you're
sweet
not...
of them. How sweet of them to do that, yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
I know. So the health card, the smart health card providers right now are Walmart, Sam's Club, CVS Health, Rite Aid, Express Scripts, and Walgreens. Now, you want to make no mistake, this is not just a traditional card. It's a portal platform, okay? So this is not a U.S. program. It's a global program. It's not just United States. So every Canadian province has adopted the smart health card as well. So Aruba, Cayman Islands, Singapore, Japan, Africa, including Kenya and Rwanda, 32 African countries are in alliance with the smart card, health card already. And so, you know, we're also being told, you know, hey, that this is to rebuild our trust in healthcare. What do you think, Pastor Butch? Is this going to do it?
Of course, it's for our benefit. It always
All
is.
Right.
I mean,
well,
they're looking out after because they love us so much.
Right. So, what do you want to bet that the smart health card is going to be linked to the Gates Foundation Trust Score software? What do you want to bet? Let's start a parlay on that. Let's do a parlay. I'll put a bet in for $20. So the TrustScore software is going to link your healthcare compliance to access of your financial sector. So we know that's coming. So now I also find it really interesting. The smart health card is a digital certificate showing proof of vaccination and was developed by the Vaccination Credential Initiative. So this is a digital credential proving the individual complied with some sort of healthcare initiative. Now, the definition of a credential is a document that details qualifying compliance or authority that is issued by a third party to a competent individual. So this portal program will be marking who is trustworthy and competent. And at present, there is really no charge for the individual using the Vaccination Credential Initiative Smart Health Card. There's no charge right now. Very much free. Now, my question was, okay, so who is on the Vaccination Credential Initiative board? Who's driving this bus? And so when you look at it, there's several entities involved in the development of this initiative. And by the way, Pastor Butch, the pockets are pretty deep, okay?
Uh-huh.
Mayo Clinic, Mitre Corp, Microsoft, the Commons Project Foundation, Evernorth, Karen Alliance, U.S. San Diego Health, and Apple. Now, by the way, Evernorth has a lot of people that were from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They worked there, and then they kind of now head that up. So you have a lot of Gate influence here, if you will. Now, Big County News, January 2021, said this: what you have is a coalition of big technology and healthcare companies, including Microsoft and Salesforce, pushing the COVID vaccination passport by forming a group called the Vaccine Credential Initiative. And if you look at any of these foundations and alliances that they form, they're all kind of the same circle of people, you know, that have, they form these things, and people just don't think they're going to check, you know.
Right.
So they're making preparations, but it doesn't mean we can't make our own preparations, Pastor Butch. So while the global powers are making their plans to reshape society, well, we can have our own plans to protect ourselves from a lot of pandemic fears and this medical tyranny, okay? I don't know about you, but I'm one of these preppers. I've been doing it for over a decade, a little at a time. I really feel sorry for people late to the game because they got to hit the ground running. But you do want to have, you know, food stocked, water, you know, ways to defend yourself. And, of course, don't forget your backup medicinals. You're going to need those. So I like the herbs with the long shelf life. The tinctures have a 10-year shelf life. So that's what we tend to invest in is self-reliance items. I don't know about you. I guess you're stocked, aren't you? Yeah.
Yes. I've worked there for years, yes. Yes.
Well, and that's real important because people these days, you know, if they're looking to the mainstream media, they're just not getting this information. They're not preparing. They're, you know, I keep going back to that biblical thing with the versions, the wise and the unwise ones. Some were prepared,
right.
Some weren't. So, but if we got a few minutes, I can jumpstart this other thing on the predictions.
Sure.
Of what's going on for mankind and healthcare in 2030. It kind of got into my head a little bit when I was listening to a presentation by the president of Bayer, Stefan Ulrich. He was stating that medical science is under the what he described as innovation. And I noticed science is using this word a lot. They're saying it's a community involvement. They're innovating. They're changing a lot of areas of human life through technology and through regulation. And some people may not be aware of what's going on. They had this research report. The Pew Research Center published a report June in 2020, and they were looking into the future, and they had all these experts predict what would happen in certain sectors by 2030. Their title of their report was The Innovation Experts Predict by 2030. And they did talk a lot about social media and technology, artificial intelligence, politics, and, of course, the health sector. And I want to focus on the health sector. So from that Pew Research report, they stated this: we expect innovations in every realm of physical and mental health. There will be significant change for the healthcare industry and healthcare professionals in which individuals will be able to, get this, care for themselves. Well, I was like, okay. So the technology for you to care for yourself, Pastor Butch, is all about surveillance, okay? Surveillance,
yes.
Technology will be a major factor in your healthcare moving forward. Artificial intelligence will change the way healthcare operates and will reduce the human employee workforce involved in it, according to Professor Jason Hong of the Human Computer Interaction Institute in Carnegie Mellon University. There are several innovations in the works with prototypes to monitor a person's mental and physical health. So the technology is going to monitor social behavior as well as predict a person's next action. So the monitoring will know if you intend to take that extra drink or eat too much, and they're all documenting this on you. So an individual will lose social score when they have bad diets. And the monitoring will force people to make better decisions about what affects their health. And one question is, who's going to decide what is good for your health? Most likely it's going to be a computer program that's fed big data selected by whoever decides what people should have and should not have. And if you think about it, people are going to be screened 24/7 this way. You won't have to go to a clinic to be screened. Uh-huh. Man, you talk about Big Brother on your shoulder all the time. So, so also, there's going to be civic innovations. They're going to midgetate, with healthcare. It's all going to be tied to your, quote, digital life. This is, from the Tech, Tisch Institute at Tufts University. They say it looks like social media and smartphones will be under heavy surveillance with regards to deterring any public conversation that would cause mental or emotional harm. And according to this one expert, Ray Junico, director of research, he said the smart technology is already part of people's lives and is considered, quote, a virtual community space. So consider your social media and your smartphone not your personal property, but it's owned and controlled by the governing powers like the like a community park or community pool would be. What do you think of that?
I think it's just part of the beast system. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, they have a whole bunch of other stuff. They were talking about environmental health in the mix, more gene modification, and a new infrastructure. So, but I don't know how much time we have to cover here.
We have about 1 minute. 1 minute.
1 minute, yeah. We'll save that for next time. How's that? We'll
That'd
get into
great.
The meat of it next time. But we are having a spring sale at Apothecary Herbs, so if you want to stock up and be prepared with your alternative medicinals, give us a call. It's 30% off orders of $65 or more. It runs through the 27th of March. You want to use coupon code POLKADOTS to get the discount. More details are online at thepowerherbs.com or simply call toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And Pastor Butch, it's weighty. I heard you sigh. And this is very much a weighty type of system that's coming.
It is. And when you think you're gaining some ground, they're coming up at you from a different direction.
Yeah.
Lifting mandates a little bit, but coming up with a digital health card now, and no one really hears much about that right now. I mean, these people are sneaky, conniving.
Well, they've been preparing this a long time. They've been preparing for this a long time, and they've been
Absolutely.
Running different scenarios. And they have those computer programs that run algorithms to kind of predict how we'll react to this stuff. And so they're fine-tuning it. Like I said, they're fine-tuning it so they'll get to play everybody like a violin eventually. Yeah.
Just think of all the tyrants in the past who like to have this ability to keep track of people all the time. Thank you, Wendy, for joining us today.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You so much. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Folks, back at the break, we'll have Melody come and join us. She'll give us Mark's updates and a lot of news to cover, so don't you all go away. We will find you at
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. freedomradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. Yes, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch. And for the first segment of the program, I know it was a very good one, was Wendy Wilson and Butch. And
Wendy,
I want to thank them
Wendy
for doing...
Wendy is always good. Wendy
she
is always good.
She is. Absolutely, always. She is. So I'm so thankful that we have her for the first segment of the program on Wednesday. So folks, give her a call, support her. And if you have any questions, give her a call. And so I'm here to do the market report, and what a day it has been. We had a high of 2006, so we're almost there. I mean, we had a big pullback. But right now we're looking down at, well, actually the high was in 2006. We had a change of $53, and right now we're at 2000. Silver was down 54 cents at $25.91. Platinum was down $72 at $1,099. And palladium is down 218 at $3,031, down over 7%. Platinum was down over 6%. And, you know, this is my opinion. It's all due to our cutting back. They had the numbers primed. They had the money primed, all ready to go when Biden said, "We're cutting off Russia's oil." So you saw the stock market up big, and I'll do that here in just a minute. But the other thing that got hit pretty hard was the U.S. dollar. It was down 1.08 at 99.01. I mean, that was ready to, you know, that was, you know, well above 99 on its way to 100, but it pulled back and it was lower. So it did come back a little bit, down 1.08 at 98.01. The paper markets today, of course, is riding high on that announcement of oil. And the Dow was up 653 points, 2%. 33,286. The S&P was up 107, also up 2.5%. And the NASDAQ was up 460, a little over 3.5%. And I think all the foreign markets pretty much did the same. Europe did. Europe was strong. The U.S. is coming to the rescue. That's what it's all about. The U.S. is coming to the rescue. Now get this. Germany? It was up almost 8%. Yeah. Up 8%. Up over 1,000 points. Wow. The FTSE was up over 3%. And France was up also over 7%.
Now, this is all based on what again?
I think so. That's when the markets turned around. Although you have all of our markets, so, you know, correcting, you know, 10%. The NASDAQ, I believe, was down over 20%. So, I mean, they've all been hit, and they've all been hit hard. So I think with all the we'll read a little bit on some of the things that might have had some impact. But, I mean, the markets actually turned around when we said the oil was going to stop, I guess with the hope that that would stop Putin.
That's not going to stop Putin. That's
absolutely
not going to stop
not.
Putin. You're going to laugh that off.
Not.
I mean, you would think that would cause it to panic more because of, my gosh, Melody, I can't believe the price of gas in the last week up has went from $335.9 to $219.9. That's quite a jump, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but you know what, Butch? The people out there think it's a great thing. they don't mind paying the bigger prices to support Ukraine. That's what it's all about.
That's going to end real soon, I promise you, because we're going to see food shortage and things come in. People are going to be very upset.
But hey, this is the price that we have to pay to support, you know, Ukraine from that mean, nasty man, Putin. So be it. And what people can't do, people can't sit back. They can't take it out, you know. This is a media war to pull the heartstrings.
Oh, sure.
And we've never had that before. I mean, the Iraq war, it was all about the USA and what happened here. They didn't show all the pictures. They just showed, you know, the United States, you know, pummeling everything. But this is different, I think, Butch. Do you think not?
Well, in a sense that, yes, we're supposed to defend an innocent country from a foreign invader. But in another sense, they've lied to us so many times. When do we start questioning the fact they may be lying to us again? I mean, how many times have they got to slap you before you learn to back up or step out of the way or something? I mean, how dense can you get? I just put a video out on our email blast, and you should have it in your email. A reporter in Ukraine with 49 body bags behind him with so-called dead victims in them, and one of the victims is trying to pull a bag back over his head. Now, I'm serious. You can see that. That's right on screen, folks. I'm not making that up. One of the victims is trying to keep the bag pulled down with the wind blown off of him. And that's this is a fact. This is not hidden information. But the masses never look beyond ABC or CNN or any rest of them. They never take time to look behind the scenes. And, Melody, we are on the verge, and I hope this is totally turned out to be nothing but a speculation. I think we're on the verge of a nuclear war. I will get some more of that in a minute. But with what we're threatening to do to Putin now and some of the things that they're threatening to do from the UK and from Europe, I should say, it could lead to a nuclear war. I mean, Putin's not going to back down on this because Putin's not wrong in the sense of why he's doing it. But it's going to lead to a lot of situations that we in Americans think that we're immune, that we can't be touched. Folks, take a look at the gas pump if you think we can't be touched. And that's just a small piece. Wait till the food shelves are empty. The first article I'll share in a minute is about the global crop collapse is now a certainty. This isn't something that could happen, folks. It is going to happen this year.
I mean, if you look at what comes with the grains that come out of Ukraine, and 30% of the world's, what do you think is going to happen? Wait till the famine begins. Wait till people start going hungry. But hey, we pulled our oil, so let's get those stock markets higher. I mean, as long as that stock market is high, people don't care. They don't care. But they're easily led and deceived. We live, isn't that, you know, hey, we live in a world of deception.
We do.
We have to take our hearts out of it. As much as we have compassion and think it's what a horrible thing that's happening, sit back and take that out of the picture when you're digesting what's really going on. But they're pulling on our heartstrings by showing all of these, and half of them I don't believe.
No. Well, you can't. When you see a dead body recovering itself, that's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, it's unbelievable. Wendy just shared with us during her segment that food prices went up 27% in her area since last year. In her area, went almost 30% since last year. we haven't seen anything yet.
Here's something. Fitch cuts Russia's ratings further into junk. They say debt default is imminent. So Fitch downgraded Russia's sovereign rating by 6 notches further in the junk territory from B, saying that a default is imminent as sanctions and trade restrictions have undermined its willingness to service debt. The country's financial markets have been thrown into a turmoil by Western sanctions. So there's a lot of concerns over the ability and the willingness. Why would you be willing to service your debt when you have all these sanctions coming at you?
Why would you care?
Why would you care? Further ratcheting up of sanctions and proposals that could limit trade and energy increase probability of a policy response by Russia that includes at least selective non-payment of its sovereign debt obligations. On March 16th, Russia is due to pay $107 million in coupons across two bonds, though it does have a 30-day grace period to make the payments. What do you think that's going to happen to the world financial markets when they begin defaulting on their debt? Do you think all that debt that they have is just held by Russians?
Very true.
I mean, it's just... I agree with you, Butch. I think... I really do believe that we're heading into a nuclear war. And I do think that the U.S. wants to go in there. And, you know, they say all these things that we can't and we don't and we won't and so forth.
It's hard to imagine that some people would actually like to go to nuclear war. That's just hard to fathom. That anybody could be that immoral.
Well, here, listen to this. This was actually, I mentioned it yesterday, and I didn't have the article in front of me. The London Metal Exchange, they suspended trading of nickel.
Yes.
Now, nickel is a key ingredient mineral that is needed for electric vehicle manufacturing. Prices surged to a record high. The LME will actively plan for the reopening of the nickel market and will announce the mechanics of this to the market as soon as possible. The LME will give consideration to a possible multi-day closure given the geopolitical situation which underlies the recent price moves. Nickel trading would be halted for at least the rest of the day yesterday. Here comes the important part. The price of the commodity surged more than 100% on Tuesday, hitting $100,000 per metric ton. And the price skyrocketed after Russia, which mined about 10% of the world's nickel supply in 2021, of course, went into Ukraine. So Russia mines about 10%. Russia mined an estimated 250,000 metric tons of nickel in 2021. Now, this is all according to the U.S. Geological Survey. In comparison, the U.S., hey, we mined a whole 18,000 metric tons. Counting for less than 1% of the global supply. And what does this administration want to do? So it hurts their little goals of electric vehicles. They can't make them. Volatility in the mineral market could have major impacts on the global electric vehicle market, which is dependent on nickel. How about cobalt? It's another major commodity that's needed. And there's also other critical minerals for battery production. Well, this is all according to the International Energy Agency report that was published last year. The average electric car reportedly needs 6 times more mineral resources than a conventional car. A doubling of lithium or nickel prices would induce a 6% increase in battery costs. And you know it's always more than what they assume. And the average electric vehicle reportedly requires about 40 kilograms of nickel, while a traditional car doesn't need any. Nickel is the biggest concern for scaling lithium ion cell production. So there you have their clean energy problem. And so is that one of the reasons we want war? It's usually for something like the minerals or, you know, something that the nation has that we want. It isn't about freedom, usually, of people and so forth, Butch, is it?
No, and we better stop and think that we're not messing with Kuwait or even Iraq. We're talking about Russia and maybe China. We're not messing with we're not no longer messing with lightweights here. We're talking about superpowers that can hit back probably a lot harder than we can hit them, especially two at a time. So, folks, this is insanity. And the people worldwide are going to suffer because of this in a lot of different ways. And I know I keep saying this over and over again, but Americans are not used to this kind of suffering. We haven't had to do it in my lifetime, and it's going to get so bad that I do believe you're going to see things. You're going to start seeing food riots. Maybe I know for sure in other countries. Sorry, started, but I think in America also. When what are they going to do? They're going to ask for another government bailout. We're going to want another COVID fund or something to bail us out. Give us a check, please. Which will just exacerbate the problem. But that's Americans today. We always hold our hand out for somebody to help us. We never think about helping ourselves. We're no longer relying on ourselves, just like our nation isn't. Maybe 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 80 years ago, America didn't care if you cut off the wheat supply. We had wheat. We didn't care. We had our own oil.
Yeah.
We did. We had our own oil. We made our own cars. We made our own clothes. We produced everything for ourselves. You could cut us off from the rest of the world, we would have done just fine. But that's no longer the case. America can't even feed itself, much less production of itself in automobiles and other manufacturing goods. They can't do it any longer. They don't have the capability to do it any longer. And they don't have the means to rebuild it, and they don't have the time to build it. It's too late.
You know, you brought up a stimulus, and I wanted to talk about this. I know we're running out of time already. I know you have other things you want to talk about, but I think it's
That's
important
right.
because today Biden took a big step towards government-backed digital currency. And I read through this article, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. So they're putting its support behind research and development of a U.S. central bank digital currency, and the move is part of a sweeping executive order. That Biden signed today, instructing the federal government to explore the possible uses of and regulations for digital assets like cryptocurrency. The executive order reads, his administration places the highest urgency on research. That doesn't say a whole lot. We know the implications of potentially issuing a digital dollar are profound. They are extraordinary, wide-ranging. The U.S. digital currency would not necessarily change much in terms of everyday experiences like buying goods and services. Economists say it could transform central and commercial banking, as well as government sanctions, banking accessibility, and taxes. So, folks, you know, as everybody is crying and wants to have their digital currency go high, it isn't for you and me. You won't be using it. It's for them to continue their corrupt ways for central and commercial banking, sanctions, taxes. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. freetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Just an update on gold pricing. I got a note from my buyer today. He says the mint is beginning to have difficult time obtaining blanks so they can make coins. So premiums are rising. They're not just not rising. They're skyrocketing. Silver Eagles are still alive, but premiums are steep. Foreign gold had cheaper prices, but you're looking at 4 weeks out for delivery. We have 90% silver. That premium rose a buck and a half, full buck. Gold Eagles, premiums are the same. They're live. Maples are the same. And so, you know, the silver foreign is what's 4 weeks out. So mainly in the silver products is where we're going to see some issues here in the near future. So don't wait. Don't think the price is too high. If you have the funds that you want to convert to real money, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Heading into the break, we were talking about digital currencies and about Biden signing off to do research and so forth. And Michael Bordo, a professor of economics and director of Center for Monetary and Financial History at Rutgers University in Jersey, he says digital currencies also open up new possibilities for how the government exercises policy. And, of course, Butch, you mentioned the stimulus payments. A digital currency could make the kind of stimulus payments of the coronavirus pandemic nearly instantaneous. And far more efficient, he said, and maybe even reaching people who have previously been shut out of banking services. Well, this all sounds dandy, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does.
Sure does. But this is what's interesting. In addition to the consumer benefits, a U.S. digital currency would offer the Fed a new tool that economists have previously only theorized about, negative interest rates. Controlling interest rates is the Fed's primary way to stimulate or cool the economy, but it comes with limits. Banks can drop interest rates on regular money only so low, known as the zero bound, leaving central banks with few options when interest rates are already low and the economy needs a boost. Okay, we know that. With the digital currency, the zero bound does not exist. Doesn't exist. Allowing for aggressive action when needed. If the cash is electronic, the government can just erase 2% of your money every year. He thinks this is going to become a necessity just because of the demographic changes in the world. Now, that's the part that I thought was interesting. If the cash is electronic, the government can just erase. I think they're already doing it, but they can just erase 2% of your money every year. He also pointed to negative rates as an important feature of the digital currency. And, I mean, to me, I think this is amazing that we're going down this road. Border also, he thinks it's something that could be a game changer for the Fed. A U.S. digital currency faces plenty of real hurdles. Noted that commercial banks have a vested interest in opposing the technology. Getting this timing through is going to be a big project, but the momentum for the government-backed digital currencies is growing. Just so they can cheat, Butch.
Oh, yes. And
just
control.
So they can cheat,
control.
Lie, and
control.
Steal.
Control,
and
control,
gee,
control.
Just think. Yeah. And the part about erasing 2%?
Yes.
What about your taxes? GEO taxes, they can just go right in there and erase it and take it from you. And they can do it now, but it makes it a whole lot easier with digital currencies.
And if you're not a good citizen, they can penalize you too.
Yeah.
You know, you might be a radical.
You might be a radical Christian, yeah.
You never know. That's what they call us, isn't it? Radical Christians?
Radical Christians, yeah.
So, yeah, let's go digital. We can all be so happy. We just sit back and do nothing. Money put in our account.
Yes, okay. We do. Hey, Butch, we have a caller. We have David in Massachusetts calling us today.
Okay, all right.
Hello, David in Massachusetts.
How are you? As I was, listening to, all the talk about, the food shortage coming that are pretty much mostly definitely a certainty, it would seem. Something just popped in my mind. It's back in the 1930s, Stalin, during his collectivization of agriculture in the Soviet Union, and in particularly he was really cruel in the Ukraine, so he had an artificial famine. So I think, well, I'm sure that's just a mere coincidence. The Russia invading Ukraine, and there's going to be food shortages, or no nitrates, or for fertilizer, or and besides, Ukraine is a big wheat producer. I'm sure that's none of this just a mere coincidence.
Of course. Of course. No, I mean, none of this stuff is planned, David. It's all just happened by chance, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest cure for that is if people started upholding the six-day account of creation in Genesis. I think the idea of evolution, we all evolved, gets it places in people's minds. All things just happen by mere accident.
Sure, exactly.
But when there's a creator, just look at nature. I mean, how it abides by laws, which we humans still can't figure out, everything about nature. But yet, have you ever heard of what they say, order out of chaos? Have you ever heard of just order just happening out of nothing?
Sure, of course. The Big Bang Theory, of course, that all works. That's how it all worked. None of this stuff is planned. None of it's been foretold in the Bible. Folks, the future, everything happening is in the Scriptures. Believe me, it is. Anything else, Dave?
No. I'll look forward to listening to you tonight.
All right. I'll see you there, Lord willing. Thanks for being there, David.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks
for the call.
Thanks, David. Yeah.
Such a sweet fella. Yeah, I mean, really,
yes,
he calls our broadcast
really
once in a while. Good-natured fellow. I would like to get this one article in before in our time. It's already, it's time went by really quickly. Your information, by the way, you have been really, I tell you, been pondering this, and you did a good job on sharing that. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you brought that
Thank
up.
Thank you.
Global crop collapse now a certainty. Widespread famine to plague planet Earth from 2022 through 24. It is set in motion, and it cannot be stopped. This is from Mike Adams, Natural News. A convergence of horrifying events have set into motion an irreversible collapse of food. Now, folks, pay attention. I'm sure he's right on this. Collapse of food production and crop harvest that will lead to global famine all the way through 2024. My comment on that is, if it ends there, it'll be a miracle. These events cannot be stopped for the simple reason that plants take time to grow. You can't create crops instantly, and if they don't get planted or they get destroyed, there's no instant replacement. The reason for the famine coming, global famine coming, is include floods and droughts causing sharp drops in crop production in China, Russia, and USA, among other nations. Economic sanctions against Russia causing a halting of exports for food and fertilizer. War in Ukraine leading to a halting of 2022 planting season for wheat, corn, soy, and other crops. War in the Black Sea blocking ship shipments, movements, and the ports such as Odessa, which normally export crops. The Biden administration shutting down of fossil fuel production in USA, adding significant costs to fertilizers and agriculture operations. Global fiat currency money printing making food inflation reach atrocious levels. Importantly, this colossus into two primary problems that will now accelerate across the world: food scarcity and food inflation. Scarcity, of course, means there is no remaining supply, no matter what the cost. Inflation means the food that is available will be significantly higher in price. Both of them cause people to panic, ultimately leading to a widespread civil unrest. Understanding farm and crop inputs, farmers are right now reporting a roughly 300% increase in their cost to produce crops such as wheat. This is due to three primary inputs: the cost of fertilizer and seed, the cost of fuel to power agricultural equipment, the availability of tractors and other equipment and their parts in order to carry out mechanized agricultural operations. Now, folks, a 300% in production of crops will also mean a 300% of a loaf of bread, a can of beans, a piece of beef. It's going to pass on down to us. Can you absorb 300% more in food prices in your budget? No, no. Let's just say it goes up half, 100%, one third of what they're saying. Can you absorb that? I just read the other day they're expecting food costs to go up $1,000 per month.
Yep.
Can you afford that? I can't. I'm going to have to learn to live on something else besides what I've been used to for all these years. Any comments, Melody?
No. We've talked about it, and everything supports it, though. And, yes, we're going to certainly see prices rise. What is it? I saw a segment on the news today where toilet papers, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to be charged the same thing with everything, but everything's going to get smaller. So in this one pack of toilet paper, they cut out a roll and a half from what you would normally get. But guess what? You get to pay the same price or more. That's how they con us. That's how they.
Of course.
It's just amazing. It's just. So we're going to see more and more of that. You'll see it in your food, too, your food pricing.
Well, you may have to start going back to the old days. Of course, a lot of people can't do it. Well, you build an outhouse and you take scrap paper out there. And I know from doing that as a boy. And I'm serious, you know. Thank God I can build one here if I want to. And I have one already, matter of fact. But it's just, you know, you may come back to those times. I know people won't think about that, but it is the way it is. And listen to what Biden has planned. Now, this is probably last article. Biden's tax plan is a raw new deal for retirees. And here's why.
Yeah.
Joe Biden has a long history of messing over retirees. It started in 1983 when he voted to slap income taxes on 50% of Social Security income that's previously been tax-free. In 1994, he voted up the amount of Social Security benefits subject to taxation to 85%. Folks, Biden's going to fix your rate up. Don't worry. In 2000, he turned his attention to estate taxes. He voted up the amount of Social Security benefits subject to taxation 85%. Estate Tax Elimination Act that would have phased out certain estate taxes by 2010. Now he wants to raise over $3.3 trillion in taxes, and he's got his eyes on America's nest eggs. Let me repeat that: he's got his eyes on America's nest eggs. His plan, he wants to expand estate taxes and equalize benefits across tax brackets. Now, the word equalize means it's not the same as fair. Equalize means some will come out ahead, while others will end up with less. What will happen to you? Are you prepared to accept the worst potential for higher taxes, fewer benefits, less money overall for yourself? Now, folks, that's a serious question. Biden has done this already in the past. Why would he do anything less now? Why do you think he's changed his mind all of a sudden to become a benevolent leader that wants to see the people prosper? I don't think so. And one last thing I'll mention here, Melody. I'm kind of tickled with our Senator Joe Manchin here in West Virginia, who's made some common sense moves the last little while, and I'm glad to see it. I still don't trust him as far as a lot of things he's done, but this he did say. Manchin on boosting Iranian, Venezuelan energy. Go back to domestic production policies we had before, and he got right on the money. While speaking to reporters on Tuesday, Senator Joe Manchin reacted to the Biden administration reportedly looking to increase energy imports from Iran and Venezuela by calling for his new return to power energy for production policies to boost domestic energy production. CNN chief congressional correspondent Mahu Raju asked, so should the administration ease restrictions on production? Manchin reported, go back to the policies that we had before. After referencing leases in the Gulf of Mexico and production on lands controlled by the Bureau of Land Management, he added all this was to go back into production. That's all we're asking for. And if we're asking the rest of the world to step up, let's show that we're going to step up and any oil that needed to our allies around the world. We produce it cleaner than anybody, so we can supply a lot of the world and ourselves. But we're begging for oil. Biden changed that plan for energy independence the day he got in office. He stopped it. And now we're paying for it. Any comments, Melody?
And you know what? It's still a little shocking that he hasn't reversed something, you know?
Oh, he is.
But they're just down flat. They're not going to do it. And instead, they're going to the Saudis. The Saudis will probably increase some oil production. But going to Venezuela? Are you kidding me? And Iran? You talk about a slap in the face to the American people.
Well, obviously, I don't. The insane ones are in the asylum, obviously. But maybe they're not so insane. I think they know what they're doing because they want to enslave us and break us. And I think they're going to get it done for the most part. I do believe that.
Absolutely.
Okay,
I agree.
About our time already.
No, that's impossible.
I mean, that was a fast hour. You did a great job, Melody. I didn't have to say much. You did a great job.
Well, thank you. But, you know, it's these little things that go unnoticed. And, you know, everybody's will be all excited about, you know, Biden's doing this thing about cryptos and so forth. And Yellen actually mentioned something yesterday. And I'm sorry. I don't like, we are out of time and I want to keep talking, Butch.
I know.
Hey, we'll be back tomorrow, I promise. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the